Peter Tuz, president of Chase Investment Counsel, is here, and we're talking stocks now in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they see happening that informs their buys and sells, what goes into the stocks that they're picking and the ones that they're avoiding. And after we find out what they like and dislike as they put it all together, we find out how they feel about some of your picks. But it's not hold it or fold it anymore. We'll let you know what it is when we get there. But my guest, who's going to help us get there, is Peter Tuz. He is the president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, which is an all-cap growth fund. And if you want to learn more, chaseinv.com. Peter Tuz, Happy New Year. Thank you for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Happy New Year to you as well.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. And as we start the new year, there's a natural sense of optimism that comes into it. You are an optimistic guy by nature, but you always add some realism. And so since we talk about methodology, well, let's talk about where reality fits in versus everything else, because, you know, it's how you slice the numbers and decide what's real. So explain what it is that goes into your stock picks.
Yeah, Chuck, happy to do so. Well, we have a methodology that combines both fundamental and technical analysis. Basically, we're looking for companies with decent earnings growth, high profitability, usually measured by return on equity, and strong balance sheets. We use technical indicators, most notably moving averages, as timing indicators. You know, we could identify a good company, but it might not be a good time to purchase it at the moment. And lastly, we use a valuation methodology that basically is PE to growth related, a PEG ratio approach. Nothing magical there, but we apply them consistently. We apply them consistently. I've done so for 30 years.
When you consider fundamentals versus technicals, we have had throughout 2020 this disconnect between the stock market and the economy. We've had a disconnect between some numbers and stock performance because, well, quite honestly, you're looking at quarter over quarter or year over year comparisons that are goofy.
Yeah.
So has that changed what you're relying on more right now? I mean, technicals have sort of seemed to work really well during 2020, which was, you know, with all the craziness, whereas fundamentals have been maybe misguided by the numbers.
Excellent point, Chuck. In a year like this and like the financial crisis of about a decade ago, you kind of have to take the current year, which is, you know, has down earnings for most companies, and say, you know, we're not going to count this. And we're now looking into 2021 and 2022 in some cases to see where the earnings growth will come from.
When you're thinking about where growth generally will come from, what are the areas of the market that seem to have that right mix of fundamentals and good technicals?
You know, we've always been big on technology stocks. It's funny, though, that industrials and some retail companies have come through our screens lately as attractive.
And let's go through and sort of maybe use one of those as an example. What's something that stands out to you?
Well, two of our more recent purchases, one was Deckers Outdoor, symbol DECK, the marketer and retailer of things like Uggs and Hoka running shoes and sports shoes like that, having a down year in earnings, but not materially so in this year, but should have probably 20% plus growth in 2021 to record earnings.
Okay, that was, you said there were two. What's the other?
Oh, the other is MDU Resources, kind of a smallish company that is basically a combination of a utility operating in the Dakotas, and then a construction and construction materials company, a fairly stable company with a yield of about 3%, selling for about 13 times earnings. But if the government can ever get its act together and we do see infrastructure spending, the construction and construction materials business, which is 75% of their revenue, should post pretty significant growth. So that's a kind of cyclical company, but we hope that we see some good things in terms of infrastructure spending in 21 and in 22.
And of course, MDU Resources, ticker symbol goes with the name. It's MDU. You know, I'm curious. You talk about some of the cyclical things and you talk about some of the opportunities. When you're looking at this kind of economy where you are a little distrustful of the numbers, but you also have what could be great stories. I mean, let's face it, as the economy comes back and assuming that the vaccines work and people are allowed to go out and travel, we know that there are some businesses that have been beaten down or put on, you know, close to a full stop. They're going to be starting again and they're going to potentially pick up. How do you sort between that? I mean, MDU being a case in that industry, there's a whole bunch of names, and I'm sure that MDU is not the only one that looks good. But how do you decide which ones are kind of the fool's gold? Which ones are the stories that they sound okay, but they don't work?
You know, one of the things we look for basically are companies with strong balance sheets. We all know the economy is going to recover, but we don't really know when. We're hoping it's sooner rather than later. But we're picking companies with the potential for good earnings growth, but also companies with the ability to stand their ground for another several months without any severe financial disruption. So, you know, quality is an important part of our process as well.
And let me also go back, because of course, Chase Investment Counsel, an all-cap growth fund, where it's a growth fund, but you've always said that you do put different components in there. So is MDU in there because it generates some income, because it's that steadying influence versus, say, a Deckers, which is, you know, a small to mid-cap pick? And is there a difference between the role they play in the portfolio?
Yeah, there's a difference between the role they play. I mean, we are, you know, as all investors are, we are constantly playing both offense and defense, right? We want companies that could generate some alpha as the market goes up, but we're realists. We have a market that's, you know, been on a tear in most of 2020 and is ending the year pretty highly valued. So, you know, we're looking for companies that have good prospects but don't have outrageous valuations with them as well.
If you consider MDU to be an income-oriented stock, what else would be in that income pocket that might interest folks?
Well, a third stock we recently purchased was a company called Innovative Industrial Properties. It's an REIT, which basically isn't a fast-growing sector, but Innovative Industrial Properties is really a kind of a financier for the legalized marijuana industry. They essentially buy the grow centers that people grow marijuana in, and they're the only one in the country publicly traded that's doing that, and they are growing, light years faster than the typical REIT.
And so out of curiosity, with a stock like that, do you consider that a REIT play or do you consider that a cannabis play?
I consider it a cannabis play. It is a REIT, but it is a cannabis play. The efforts to legalize marijuana in more states has helped the company tremendously. It is a REIT. That's just a structure. But really, it's a play on the continued legalization of marijuana throughout the country.
That to me is part of the interesting side. And of course, it could serve both roles.
Right.
And again, it's Innovative Industrial Properties. That's ticker symbol IIPR. So what makes you sell? You know, you've talked about a couple of companies that you like. What makes you say, it's not working? Is it breakdown of the technicals, breakdown of the fundamentals? Does it have to be both? You know, can one do it?
It could be. We have four sell triggers. A stock hits our target price. That's generally a good thing. The fundamentals deteriorate or the technicals deteriorate or simply we just, you know, we cull out the weakest performing stocks in our portfolio and look for something with more potential.
Got it. So it's a culling of the herd.
Culling of the herd, right.
Well, now we're going to get quick and dirty on some stocks that I know the audience is interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Got a good feeling about this.
That's right. It's Quick and Dirty, where we're going to give you fast opinions from our guest today. Of course, it's Peter Tuz from Chase Investment Counsel. But if you want us to bring our experts in and have them give you a quick and dirty look at stocks you're interested in, Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com is how you do it. We're going to jump right in, starting with a request we got from Richard in Chula Vista, California. He wants to know about U.S. Bancorp. Its ticker symbol, USB.
Yeah, Chuck, I consider U.S. Bancorp a hold right now. It's a very high-quality bank operating mostly in the Midwest and West, and it sells for about 14 times earnings, 3.6% yield. 14 times earnings is pretty expensive for a bank stock. If, you know, in a good market, attractive market for bank stocks, you can buy them for 10 and 11 times earnings. So hold, good company, but wait for an opportunity to buy it.
Money in the bank.
Yeah, it's money in the bank, but you're not moving any more money into U.S. Bancorp, ticker symbol USB. Richard has another request, this for Stag Industrial, ticker STAG.
Funny, Stag is another REIT, not a very large one in the great scheme of things, market cap of about $4.6 billion. I would call that a buy right here. Stag is a company that owns a lot of warehouses around the country. And, you know, as we all have grown totally used to shopping online, all the items that we buy flow through warehouses probably several times over their life cycle. So, you know, it's selling for about, 14 times next year's funds from operations, which is a metric REITs use, and yielding about 4.6%, 4.7%. You know, it's good, steady grower, strong balance sheet for a REIT, and a growing sector of the property market.
All right, I will buy it. It'll be good for the economy.
That's a buy on Stag Industrial, ticker STAG. Mark in Mitchell, South Dakota, wants to know about Archer Daniels Midland, ADM.
Archer Daniels, to me, in my opinion, is a buy as well, Chuck. I think it's about $50, sells for about 14 and a half times what it ought to earn next year, which is a multiple well below that of the market, and has a yield of about 3%, which is well above the market. Big company involved in the transportation, production of agricultural products, soybeans, et cetera. And, you know, commodity prices, especially things like soybeans, are actually very strong right now. So they should have a good period coming up in front of them. And they make some of the ingredients that go into all the meatless burgers that we've come to either enjoy or abhor so well.
So it's a buy on ADM. Archer Daniels Midland.
Don't worry if the price starts going up. Just keep buying.
Next, it's DA in Honolulu who wants to know about Next Era Energy, NEE.
Okay, Next Era to me is a foldum right now. It is probably one of the better run utilities in the United States, and certainly because it's based in Florida, has a good growth profile compared to many. But at 30 times earnings and yielding less than 2%, there are just better values in the utility space out there.
So it's good company, bad stock.
If everyone thinks one thing, then I say bet the other way.
Yeah, go against the crowd that has been betting on NextEra Energy, NEE, is a fold. And last, for Tony in Henderson, Nevada, it's Walt Disney Company, DIS.
I'm going to call Disney a fold, which is probably an un-American thing to do. We bought that. We bought Disney in late March or early April for under $100, and this is an example of our sell target. Sold it when it got to about $155 about a month ago. It then went on to about $180 where it is today, so we didn't get the last batch of profits. But they have done a great job repositioning themselves from a theme park operator with side streaming businesses, et cetera, to a company that is basically looked at as a streaming company now, but it's had a great run, and it's difficult to value the company right now. It may be selling for roughly 30 times 2022 earnings. So I think the stock has gotten a little bit ahead of itself.
And, you know, you talked about in there about missing out on some of the upside, but you're not that worried about catching it at the bottom and getting out at the top. You're really worried about where can you get to. And at the time that you sold it, I assume you were also looking at what can I replace it with that
exactly.
I think will have a better
Yeah, exactly. And I think, to our point a little while ago, it was MDU and Deckers were two of the companies that we used Disney proceeds to at least partially buy.
Yeah. And so that helps us understand how it works. And it's a fold on Disney, ticker DIS.
And now for the profit taking.
Where, yep, you are taking some of your profits and leaving. And, well, Peter Tuz doesn't have profits to take from this show, but he does have to go because we've come to the end of our time. But, Peter, it's always great. Thank you so much again. Have a fabulous new year. Looking forward to talking with you again down the line.
Thank you, as I am too, Chuck. Be well.
That's Peter Tuz, everybody. He is the president of Chase Investment Counsel. It's chaseinv.com to learn more about Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, and more about the firm. And we'll be back to tell you where Peter agreed or disagreed with some guests. Well, there were guests from 2020, even though they were recent. But we'll tell you where he agreed and disagreed, and we'll let you know what's coming on what should be a fabulous opening week to Money Life in 2021. Stick around. The finish line's in sight.